From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of July, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll take a complete look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Senator Grassley fires back at those 50 Republicans that have lined up in favor of reducing the RFS. And Bob Kerry, former Nebraska senator, is back in the limelight asking Congress to develop a new commission on energy and climate change. We'll have more on those stories in a few moments. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It'll all happen on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled on this Wednesday afternoon in Chicago, corn futures like this, the nearby July, at $7.48 3/4, 29 and a quarter higher. September futures, $7.61, up 28 and 3/4. And December corn, $7.80 1/2, up 28 and a half. March futures up 29 cents at $7.97 3/4. July soft red winter wheat futures, $8.65 1/4 in Chicago, 15 and a half cents higher. September up 15 and a half at $8.80 1/4, and December futures gained 15 and a half cents at $9.03 1/2 on their settlement. July soybean futures, $16.43. That settled unchanged. August contract, I don't think that's right, $16.39 1/2, up 16 and a half. September futures at $16.32, up 17. And November beans at $16.30, up 20 cents. July bean meal at $4.43.80, up 6.10. July bean oil at $67.77. up 106. A live cattle August contract at $104.67 1/2 higher. October at $111.75, up 77 1/2. August feeder cattle at $112.15, down 2 1/2 cents. September futures at $113.62 1/2, 20 cents lower. And July lean hog futures today at $71.82 1/2, or 92 1/2 cents higher on the afternoon. And those nearby July futures in the bean pit actually traded 17 and 3/4 higher at $16.45 3/4. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets are doing at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures are $2.28 a barrel higher at $143.25. September contract at $143.95, up $2.37. July ethanol futures $2.85 3 cents higher. August futures up 5 6/10 at $2.86 5/10 for the day. Natural gas is trading $13.42 1/2. That's down 8 cents. The September 8 5/10 lower at $13.48 1/2 for the afternoon. August heating oil at $4.07 4/10, up 13 cents for the day. September futures at $4.11 1/10. That's up 12 9/10 cents. August propane futures at $1.92 2/10, up 5 2/10 for the afternoon. And the gold futures are trading the nearby July contract at $944.80 an ounce, up $18.60. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,300 is now down just about 84 points for the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar is trading at 72.03. That's down 0.33 this afternoon. The CRB index at 472.76 is up 5.19 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Ed Keyser. He says tonight in the north and central sections it'll be mostly cloudy with some showers, a few thunderstorms in the south, increasing cloudiness, showers and thunderstorms arriving after midnight. Lows this evening will range from 60 in northwestern Illinois to 68 in the south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in northern Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers early, then becoming partly sunny. In central and southern sections, Ed says, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 70 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural futures is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, you know, you look at the marketplace, and I guess I'm a bit surprised that the corn market rallied as much as it did today. What was behind the move?
Well, you know, there's two worlds, what we look at in the fields and what's traded in Chicago. And the real factor here is that it's a quarter as far as the commodity funds are concerned. We did see a large money flow into the commodity world. There's a rumor that European Economic Community will raise interest rates because of this inflationary spiral in the commodity world and in inflation in the real world. And we also get the feeling that the crude oil was up 292, the first close above 143 in the trade. So the commodities were a big push. The second area, there might be some weather people saying in 2 weeks there might be some drier, warmer temperatures. My meteorologist basically said that it's a wonderful forecast to raise corn in the Midwest. The crops look pretty good. The market basically got oversold from the acreage report and the stocks report, and found, I guess, fair value, and the market surged in all major commodity pits. Argentina's a mess with their government. And commodities, crude oil, are all very, very strong, and this encouraged this unrelenting buying, particularly in corn.
Well, and in beans, we went to new contract highs again.
Yeah, the think tank people are whispering that just the government will, next on the supply-demand report, I think it's on July 11th, will come out with a 100 million bushel carryover on stocks. It's very tight. They even think it's smaller than that, but it's basically rule one that they don't print a number under 100 million. The soybeans are looking at, the government said we had a flooded acreage on 1,440,000 acres, and some of that will get planted back to soybeans. But whenever we have these very tight carryovers in the soybean world, it means that we'll be bidding very strong to own soybeans at processing and export plants clear into probably late September, early October. 80% of the soybeans have been sold out of Brazil, and so the marketplace is basically empty of soybeans, and the only place to really buy them quickly and availability is the Chicago futures market, the price discovery mechanism, and that's very, very bullish as far as old beans are concerned.
So given that, despite probably what's will be termed as fairly decent growing conditions in the next few weeks, is it likely that without a drought, without a lot more rainfall, that beans will just spike higher as we head into July and maybe even to August, and then you have to think that they'll be looking to purchase acres in South America?
Yeah. Well, the beans are two worlds, old crop and new crop.
Right.
The old crop with Argentina's political problems does have a function to move, what I call the guys that wear the $1,500 suits, the Rolex watches, and live on the best lots in big cities, are telling me that the bean price probably is too cheap here at this level. As far as new crop is concerned, the real factor here is that we'll probably increase our acres. The availability of extra acres out of South America just isn't that great. So we are going to have a pretty tight carryover in soybeans going into next year. The function here is the Secretary of Agriculture, he's a nice man, but he was a little slow at pulling the trigger on opening the CRP acres up. There were rumors that he's only going to open up basically the next 2 years that we're going to come into the marketplace. Definitely the answer is going to come in probably somewhere in that July 11th time frame. They want a lot of acres available so there can be some, fall planting of wheat, getting the crops ready for next year. It's all a very definite teeter-totter balancing act to keep commodity prices from exploding and exploding sharply higher.
What are the dangers here?
Well, we dislike, people losing jobs, inflation. I think the danger is that we have a normal growing season, as you say, but the marketplace is basically a trend following deal, and the trend is higher. And as far as danger is concerned, it might price some demand and usage out of the marketplace.
Anything to add on the livestock side before I let you go for the
day? Oh, not really, Todd.
Okay, thanks much, Paul.
Have a good one.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens on Wednesday afternoons. You can hear what he had to say again if you'd like right there on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In today's agricultural news, the American Farm Bureau Federation has asked Secretary of Agriculture Ed Schaefer to allow producers to harvest a prevented planting crop beginning September 1st, with a strict caveat that the grain can only be chopped and used as livestock feed. Farm Bureau also asked for an immediate one-time release of CRP acres for haying and grazing in disaster counties and contiguous counties. And the Farm Bureau repeated an earlier request that farmers and ranchers be provided with an estimate or partial disaster payment as quickly as possible. Iowa is moving forward with its recovery. Here's somewhat of what's going on in the state. The veterinarian staff of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is providing support of pet shelters in Iowa as needed, and APHIS staff, along with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, is actively participating in the recovery and disposal of livestock carcasses. Also, USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service workers are assessing dam safety, identifying high-risk areas, and developing plans to reduce risk of additional flood damages. And finally today, Bob Kerry wants a commission on energy and climate. Former Nebraska Governor and U.S. Senator Bob Kerry is pushing Congress to create a national commission on energy policy and global climate change. According to Kerry's plan, a group of nonpartisan experts would advise and assist Congress in its efforts to develop a comprehensive, coherent national energy policy. It would also address greenhouse gas emissions in order to combat global climate change without damaging the economy. Kerry says while global climate change is an environmental problem, the solutions to address it revolve around energy. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from WILL on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, public radio for the farming world. I'm Todd Gleason. Up next, the ranking member of the House Ag Committee, as you heard earlier in the week, is one of the latest lawmakers to ask the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce the amount of ethanol mandated by the 2009 Renewable Fuels Standard. Now, Bob Goodlatte of Virginia and 50 of his Republican colleagues say a revision of the RFS will help alleviate the pressure on rising corn prices. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, a member of the Senate Ag Committee, says these efforts are being driven by the Grocery Manufacturers Association, and he says they're just trying to pass the buck to ethanol in order to increase the price of food.
It's intellectually dishonest. It's economically not factual. It doesn't parallel with common sense. And we've just got to discourage members of Congress that are sucked in by the Grocery Manufacturers Association to go in this direction, because it's not going to solve any problem.
Grassley says that's because the fact is the cost of energy is the main driver behind higher prices.
If Iowa State University says that if we didn't have ethanol industry, gasoline would be 30 cents higher, you'd have yet higher energy prices, and you'd have yet higher food prices. So there's just no rationale behind it.
And the senator will absolutely not support these efforts to reconsider the RFS.
For 30 years, everybody's been saying we need alternative energy, and we have an industry now. Why would anybody want to destroy or discourage the industry?
Iowa Senator Grassley says he's hopeful the president will agree and will maintain his position as the president most friendly to ethanol.
I would expect him not to be in favor of changing any ethanol policy at this point.
Goodlatte has been a supporter of the development of alternative use fuels and says there are several factors contributing to the increased price of corn. But he says the only factor the U.S. can immediately control is the amount of corn supply that must be dedicated to meet the RFS. Senator Grassley, of course, is from one of the states suffering the most from the floods this year, floods that have been compared oftentimes to the Great Flood of 1993. But as you'll hear, there are a couple of important agricultural marketing differences between the flood of 93 and the flood of 2008. The Great Flood of 1993 came much later in the growing season. That's not to discount the floodwaters of 2008 that have covered much of Iowa and parts of Indiana and Illinois and other states in the Corn Belt, but rather to say that there was still time left to replant corn and soybeans this year. Time farmers did not have in 1993 because the flood came later in the growing season, says University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good.
That's important because it does give producers a little more opportunity to replant the areas that dry out in a more timely fashion than was certainly available in 1993. The second difference, I think, is that the price levels are so high right now on corn and soybeans that there's a stronger incentive to replant drowned out areas than what we had in 1993.
$7 corn has pushed farmers to risk the cost of replanting the crop. It also caused them to keep planting corn the first time around in order to capture that premium price. Those extra acres showed up in the USDA's report June 30th. Now the question is, will the late planted acres and the replanted acres yield?
Even if we get everything planted that farmers said they're going to replant, the question is how much actually makes it to harvest for grain in the case of corn and soybeans. That's certainly going to be a function of the rest of the growing season. And importantly this year, how long the growing season is. Do we stay frost-free through September, for example? I think is going to be extremely important this year.
So now it's all up to the weather and if the Midwest can stay frost-free until the crop is matured. USDA will try to figure out what that yield might be in August, but because of the late start to the growing season, it probably won't be until the October crop production report that the agency has a very good handle on actual average yields and the total number of acres harvested. The Farm Service Agency certified planted acreage numbers are incorporated into the October national production figures. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. The folks over at Delphi at the Clymers Anderson's facility join us. Matt Blaisdell on the line today. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Doug.
Have you had a busy day today?
It was a pretty busy day today.
I would think that farmers might even be considering selling beans as they hit new contract highs, but I could very well be wrong.
I think there was quite a bit of action. We probably bought the most beans here, both old crop and new crop here, probably in the last 6 weeks, since probably right around guys got in the field. So it was a busy day.
Were you and your compadres there surprised at all by the rally in the market today?
Yeah, the last couple minutes were pretty interesting, especially in the corn pit and then beans followed with going from only being up, 19 to 20, 21, to being almost up limit. So it's a pretty exciting close here today.
And what are your discussions centering on as we look out for the next couple of months?
Looking like, you know, guys still have, seems like, you know, the last couple load of corns that are not called for. Commercial still getting cleaned out of their corn. So here at the ethanol plant, you know, our basis looks like it's kind of fading a little bit. Maybe has bottomed out here, but the guys are looking forward to moving that. And then also there's been some discussion how much corn will be actually stored in the farmers' hands this year with $7-plus cash price coming out of the field.
Yeah, I wondered that. Have you had many people taking advantage of, I don't know, what is your cash bid today, actually, for corn?
Cash bid, 713. New crop, though, is at 740 here to the ethanol plant. Right. Already talked to quite a bit of larger producers, and they seem pretty comfortable to leave, you know, 30 to 40% of their storage idle this year if the prices stay where they are here come October, November time frame.
Yeah, if you're buying, and if many folks are buying out of the field, and I suspect there might be a few farmers that are they're doing a couple of different things. They're looking at the cash price maybe at 740. 7:30, something along those lines, and saying, I think we can do that out of the field. I won't have to take care of drying it. I won't have to do anything except sell it across a scale. And they're going to try to bring up their average on the bottom side, which probably started in the $5 range, maybe a little lower. I was looking, by the way, at what the contract trade was for and the December corn. You know, the contract low in December corn, this new crop, is $2.60.
And wow.
Yeah, I know. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, I know here at the end of the month, I guess that was Monday, we looked at to see what D's trade at the first day of the month, and it was right around that $6, which was pretty amazing, too.
Yeah, so $2.60 to $7.99 and a quarter, and the Nove beans traded, let's see, from $6.22 to $16.11. Just an amazing range. And I suppose farmers are willing to take advantage of that. But what does it mean if you're buying corn out of the field, and quite a bit of it at this point, for the January bids and July bids next year?
Well, it's basically our job here, at the, especially being obviously a processor, that we have to show the farmer some pretty decent carry, maybe a little earlier than we like to for there for that July or that January and that July time frame, even, you know, 70, 80 cents there to hold it to the summer, just so those guys will, if they want to, have a chance to lock in, you know, 80 cents carries there, so they do entice them to put it in the bin.
Well, on that note, why don't you give me your bids for the day on out?
Bids on the day on out were 713, new crop 740, first of year 772, and beans 1635 with new crop at 1535.
Matt, thanks much.
Thank you, Doug.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's at the ethanol plant there in Delphi. It's the Clymers facility, joining us on a Wednesday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. Right here on the Closing Market Report, in 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
It's National Ginger Snap Day. The cookie likely dates back to medieval times. On this day in agricultural history in 1796, Edward Jenner of Berkeley, England, conducted his first experiment with smallpox inoculation, showing that the cowpox virus provides immunity to smallpox. By the way, cowpox gets its name from cowmaids touching the udders of infected cows. In 1860, Charles Goodyear died. He invented the process named vulcanization, which made the commercial use of rubber possible. Vulcanized rubber did not become brittle in winter, nor turn gummy in summer as natural rubber did, but Goodyear never profited by his invention. In 1901, the U.S. National Bureau of Standards was created. Its duties included testing and calibration of measuring scales. In 1910, Ward Baking Company of Chicago, Illinois, opened the first completely automated bread plant in the U.S. The dough and bread remained untouched by human hands until it exited the machine already wrapped. And in 1953, Cheese Whiz was introduced nationwide by Kraft. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report, I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest.
Well, it looks like we're slowly working into something that looks like summertime. It's just going to take a while to get there. We're still fighting the old patterns. Trying to get away from the cooler bias and the wetter bias and develop something that's a little bit less wet and a little bit warmer. And I think we're going to get there. It's just taking forever. The forecast today basically brings more rain and thunderstorms across the lower parts of the Midwest coming up here over the next couple of days. Many areas from Kansas and Missouri into Ohio and parts of Michigan will probably get rain at one time or another. It looks like some of this rain may actually linger a little bit longer than previously thought. The midday model's coming out suggesting that maybe a little better shot of cool air will be present for the early part of next week, which will help to prolong some of the rain in the eastern Midwest for another day or two, perhaps, with some showers lingering later into the weekend. But after that, we do see a warming trend that will take place as we get into the middle of the latter part of next week, and that warm-up should be something that might last a little bit longer this time around. Not that I want to imply that we've got a huge ridge of high pressure or anything like that, but we are going to see warmer temperatures and a little less significant precipitation that will be focused more on the northern parts of the Midwest rather than the entire region, and that'll be pretty much the domination for the second week of the two-week outlook. So I think we're headed in the right direction towards a much better environment for crop development, but we do have one more round, again, of significant rains and some cooler weather.
And what can we expect on other parts of the planet? And in particular, I want to talk a little bit about China, because it seems to me that their weather has mirrored that in the Midwest for much of the growing season. Is that right?
Early in their season, they did have a cooler bias that was kind of putting them a little bit behind in their development. But a lot of that disappeared in the last two or three weeks. And it is now raining more significantly across China, and we do have some of the summer coarse grain and oilseed areas that are going to be turning wetter and wetter as we move forward over this next 10-day period. Most of the flooding that you may be thinking about that occurred in China was in the southeast part of the country, down in rice country, not so much in coarse grain or oilseed areas. Most of their summer crop region is really in pretty darn good shape at the moment. There's very little dryness anywhere in China, and it looks like timely rains will continue there on a regular basis.
And then if you check in with the Ukrainian wheat crop, the wheat crop in Eastern Europe and Europe as well, and then probably in India, please.
All right. Well, in Europe and the former Soviet Union, both those areas are seeing an environment right now that's fairly good for much of their winter grain crop. There is a tendency right now for some net drying to occur across the Mediterranean region of Europe and on into Ukraine and parts of the lower Volga River basin of Russia. None of this dryness has become critical, but it is certainly ebbing its way in that direction where we may need some timely rains for the spring crops, for winter crops. So I think we're going to see this drier bias come in time for the crops to mature in a favorable manner, and their production will still be good. In India, the monsoon is finally getting its act together, a very unusual distribution of rainfall during the month of June. But we are now seeing the areas that were missed by rain last month getting rain now. And I don't think there's too many areas in oilseed or coarse grain country in India right now that are threatened by any kind of dryness. It's actually going to be rather wet across the region for the next week or two.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon.